Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Twas the night before Christmas, and there was a rouse. The three kings of Nintendo been playing smashed in the Outer Hayden house. Todd was got his earned his ego by simple two victories, while Will and Tyler remained rooted in their fighter mentalities.
You almost had it, except you took too many breaks, and so that was clear. So that's like C material.
Yeah.
Again, I was kind of flopping up a little bit.
The written content was beautiful, though. I mean, A plus for the written material. Oh, I'm missing Roy. Okay, well, yeah, I'm here as well.
Tellius Tyler.
Yeah, introduce me. Go ahead.
And Tellius Tyler.
I am at the very end of World of Light. I'm trying to figure out which fighters I'm missing. So. And I just realized I'm missing Roy, and there's one on the map that is just, I know where he is. So I'm trying to 100% this thing, and it's torture.
Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't 100% this thing, and I was fine with that.
Yeah, because you have a decent brain, and you don't like to torture yourself. I, for one, love to torture myself. So.
Dude, I was more than happy to. I spent at least double the time I could have in World of Light to try and get all the trophies and the spirits that I could. I love that.
But you didn't, and then you said, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm trying to pay you a compliment here. I respect the fact that you're capable of walking away from it. Honestly and truly, I am not. I can't do it.
All right. Now, if you listen to our Everyone Is Here kind of special last week, we thank you for that. But we're going back to the core group because we're going to do our best and fail at not talking about Smash Brothers all day. Yeah, we're going to fail. Like, we already outlined the show. We're going to fail. But,
yeah.
You know, we're going to at least talk about some things that aren't Smash Brothers related. But we're not going to do that first because we're going to start off with what have you been playing? Do I really have to say it? We've all been playing Smash Brothers.
Well, some of us have been playing Smash Brothers, and others have been, I guess, trying to play Smash Brothers, I would say, you know, based off of the results of our matches.
That was not a compliment. That was not a compliment.
No, that was not. That was an insult.
That was an insult. No. Yes, we have all been playing Smash Brothers in our various ways over the week. We have finally been able to get together, including with our dear friend Kremlin Kevin, to battle in online modes. And while I cannot say that I beat Tyler and Will a lot, I can say that I did beat them, period.
Yeah, by two victories if I cast counted.
Period. It
doesn't
matter.
I'm trying to think. Like I guess you did. Like, I didn't win every match, but many of them had, you know, items on and lots of random elements.
Okay, hold on. No, we didn't play items on. We played a final smash on.
Yes.
The charge smash meter.
Yes.
And that I will not deny that was a tipping point, but I got two victories over Tyler and Will, and that already makes me better than my record in Smash Brothers U. So. And I got two victories in a row against our dear friend Kremlin Kevin the other night, and it should have been three, but he was a cheap Mario player. All right, like, you know M. Bison from Street Fighter?
Yeah.
Okay, he has this terrible move that everyone hates. It's the slide kick, right? Mario has that same slide kick, and Kevin abused that slide kick. All right, so I lost because of the dang slide kick.
But Dash attack? We're talking.
I don't know. I didn't play Mario.
Anyway. I just started playing Mario, so he's...
So I have four victories against fellow NEP co-hosts and a bunch of online victories, including one today against a Sonic player who thought he was nice and cute because he outlasted me until he went to sudden death. And so the announcer went, go. I threw a boomerang and knocked his sorry carcass out of this existence.
I feel so guilty doing that to people online, but every now and again I will do that. Like, I was playing an Olimar the other day, and I was beating the Olimar pretty good, but we both had one stock, and he was Olimar, so Olimar's a campy character. He runs away and throws Pikmin at you, and Mario's not great at approaching. So I had the lead, but I couldn't hit the finishing blow, and we went to stupid overtime. I had like 100% lead. Like, I would have won had there been no timer. And fortunately, I narrowly escaped with the win in sudden death. But I felt like after I had a percent lead, they should just say, congratulations, you won.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to face a Richter today. He was pretty good, but because of the stage... See, okay, and you'll, I have another story you guys will appreciate. But because of the stage he picked, it was Mario Kart, like the one where you, not like track 8, but the other one.
Yeah.
And so I accidentally went through the floor at the wrong time, and of course I died because there's nothing underneath the floor. And so I could have totally beat this guy, but because I went through the floor, I had to fight from behind, I just couldn't get back. And then today I had my first true, undeniable, this is so terrible lag experience, and it's worse than when we played with your friend Tyler.
Oh, nothing could be that bad. That was so bad.
No, like... no, we could at least play it. I could not play this match. It was supposed to be a 1v1 match, and for the first time, it didn't let me do that, and it put me in a fatal four-way. And I don't know who it was, but one of the players had so much lag that it actually paused the game so we could do, you see like the scrolling icon, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have that against your friend. Your friend just gave us lag. This was uber lag. Like, I could put down the Switch, walk away from the room, and come back, and it would still be trying to figure out the lag issue. And I came in second, thankfully, but I could have easily gotten first if it wasn't to, because of this lag, because I'm trying to push buttons and react to the lag, and it wouldn't let me, and I lost to an Ike!
The weird thing about when we were playing with my friend is he has a LAN adapter, and I don't, and you don't, but we were having no trouble until he joined. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly.
I'm not sure why that happened.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's
kind of
the ironic part. Yeah, that's the ironic part. It's just, like, it's been said that, yeah, it's good to have a wire connection just to keep it stable, but honestly, I generally have no problems mostly when I'm going over Wi-Fi. Yeah, and I'm not even that far from my router.
Yeah, no.
I have that Xfinity thing that, you know, gives me, you know, pretty good internet and really great Wi-Fi. And when I play Splatoon or anything, yeah, I have the occasional, you know, there was a communication error. I accept that, but I don't have a lag, and you guys can attest to that.
Yeah.
And then when we played with Tyler's friend the other day, he just joined in and lagged us all to heck. And then this match was unplayable. And then they're like, hey, would you want a rematch? And I'm like, no!
Yeah. It's so annoying when the game says you want a rematch. Because
yeah.
I by force of habit, I always say yes, I do. And then, like, it's such a bad habit that even when I just, like, cursing out how bad the lag was, I still am like, accidentally, I'll just say, oh, yeah, rematch. And then I'm like, wait,
cause it's
wait,
on,
no.
Because it's on, yes, automatically. And that's so, yeah. I played a classic mode. I played a Lynx classic mode, which I liked.
Ah, okay.
And then I did Ike's, the Black Cloud Warriors. Yeah, I actually enjoyed facing Master Hand and Crazy Hand. And I was on, like, 9.7 intensity when I fought them. And I almost beat them with Ike. Like, without using a ticket. I only had to use one ticket, and it was just to finish up the job because they got a lucky hit on me to knock me off the stage. It was fun, and then the credit blasting sequence is always, that's always enjoyable. And I like that we get rewards now for classic mode. That's really fun. I've been playing the Spirit Board, which I'm now finding addicting, just to see who else I can get.
Because it resets
every 5 minutes, and it's just like, ooh, who am I going to get next? Ooh, who am I going to get next? And
and especially like you had these times when you find like legendary spirits. Like again, I think Erica was one, or I think Sika was also a legendary spirit recently. But
yeah
if you find legendary spirits, especially like one a Black Emperor of F-Zero. Oh my God, F-Zero Black Emperor. Oh my God, he's
the pain. I got a Blood Falcon from F-Zero.
Oh really?
And, yeah, and then I love this. I got a character from Bait and Kaitos. They had Bait and Kaitos music, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
They have forgotten. Nice.
They have never forget. Never. Oh my gosh, but you know, I've been enjoying it. You know, it's Smash Brothers, so
it's
much
fun.
It is
an evergreen title. Yeah.
I have been my goal, if you follow us on any piece Twitter handle, my dream is to know how to play every character in this game. And I found that I've really been struggling with some of the fundamentals in Ultimate, the shift from Smash 4, as we should also, you know, mention we wrote a review together.
I was going to wait for that to the end, but sure, say it now, Tyler.
Well, in my review, one of the things I wrote was that if you're a Smash 4 veteran, you'll feel like you're almost in a bizarro world where you, like the game feels familiar, but yet so different, and I found that myself. So I've gone back to the basics, and I started messing around with Mario, and I adore that character's combo game. He has a tool for pretty much every situation. It's just a really, really fun guy to play.
Yeah, I need to, or while we were playing together, I realized that I like Corrin, who I never got to play with as the Wii, so likely Saturday I'm gonna try and start training with Corrin because I just really like his moveset for whatever reason. I love his dashing smash and his air down smash. That was really
Oh,
cool. I
okay.
love the speed of it, you know, and then of course his what do we call it? The
Pin.
stab and kick move.
Oh, pin. Yeah, the pinning. Yeah, the
Yeah,
pinning.
the pinning move is like wow. So that's the one thing I love about these Smash games is that you don't realize who you're going to be, you know, decent with until you start playing. And like we were playing a match against Tyler's friend, and I just wanted to be Pokemon trainer, and you know, I started off with Squirtle, who I was never good with, and I die pretty quick because I went off the stage. Then I do Ivysaur, and I'm really really good. And then I do a Charizard, and I just flare blitz the heck out of him.
That was
And
so much fun. He was really mad about it. He
oh
was
yeah,
not happy. He
he's
wrote
like he's like
afterwards, "I'm really not feeling this."
yeah, Tyler is like literally say like I encouraging me as he's fighting me. He's like, "Todd, do another flare blitz. Let's lock him out. Do another flare blitz, Todd. He can't stop it."
I know how angry he was going to be when you were doing that, and it was just too much fun for me
Yeah.
to watch the comedy of that. And sure enough, he wrote back. He was not happy.
Yeah. I am not here to make friends. I am here to get
Right.
victories, and
Right,
I have
we're
them.
here to get dubs.
I'm here to get dubs. Dubs! Oh, yeah, but. What about you guys? What have you guys been playing the most over the last week?
Actually, for me, actually, as alongside the Smash Spirit Board, it's like for me, I actually kind of jump back a little bit back on Splatoon 2, and just a quick FYI right now, if you go to your news channel and you can actually claim three new gears for that celebrates 2019. So yeah, just hurry up, go to your news channel on your Switch, get claim your gifts, and yeah, you can get three new accessories for Splatoon 2. Alongside that game, let's see, anything else? I've naturally been playing Fire Emblem Fates. The Tempest Trials is currently happening right now
Try again. Fire Emblem Fates. Yeah, Fire Emblem Fates, Tempest Trials.
Heroes,
Yeah,
Fire
you say,
Emblem
whoa, no way, you've
Heroes.
been playing Fates?
Yeah, I need to get back to it. Yeah, but yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes for the Christmas banner, and I gotta say, yeah, because there was one. I saw this one tweet, and like the last map on the Tempest Trials, like wasn't that place originally a desert, and now that place
Yes,
just is
it
covered in
was.
snow. So
No
that's kind
idea.
of annoying.
But
Yeah, this nice little touch. But yeah, the Christmas banner overall, meh. I mean, I'm waiting for it because it's a 30-day banner, so I'm not in any hurry right now to get the heroes because again, we have a legendary banner coming up at the end of the month. So yes, your orders right now. And on other side of things, I've also been playing a bit more of a Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, and I don't know, like I don't know if you have, I'm not sure if you guys have played any rhythm games like DDR of that sort, but like Persona 3 Dancing, especially with like the recent announcement of Joker in Smash Bros., like going back to Persona games, it just listening to like combos and just listening to the music of these different remixes of Persona lore and of the Persona series is it tickles my fancy bone, nostalgia bone greatly. So if
I'm
you ever get a
so
chance to
excited for Persona music to be in Smash. I really have, I haven't
exactly.
I don't really know anything about Persona music, but that's partly why I'm excited for it, because I love Shin Megami Tensei soundtrack, and I'm sure that, you know, I'll enjoy this
Yes,
one as
yes.
well. I'm sure this will be a little bit more lighthearted than, or maybe I really don't know. I expect it to be a little more light than Shin Megami Tensei's really dark, like organ songs,
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah. I mean, if any chance, definitely give a chance to listen to the Persona 5 original soundtrack. It's one of the greatest, especially Beneath the Mask and like the battle music. That's oh, obviously the battle music is gonna be the main deal for Joker's stage. So overall, once Joker's stage DLC finally hits, I cannot wait. And yeah, I just gotta say, Shoji Meguro is God in composer. He's pretty much there with Nobuo Uematsu in Final Fantasy fame.
and of course the great Grant Kirkhope and David Wise, lest we forget.
Course.
What about you, Tyler?
Oh, it's just been Smash for me. I mean, I feel like I've
But like
we've
what in Smash? Like you said, you were talking about World
all
of
of
Light
it.
earlier.
I've been playing some World of Light, as I mentioned, plenty of World of Light, lots of versus matches, mostly online, and I think the online is a lot better than it used to be. And I started to actually, one of the big things I've been doing, because as you know, as anybody listening to our episode last week can attest, I'm a bit of a Smash nerd, so
Really?
I'm trying to get real good. And in Elite Smash, you can really feel the difference from being in solo and Elite. Like, when I was learning Mario, I'd get into Elite, and then I'd get blasted right out of Elite, and then I'd get right back in, no problem, and then I'd get kicked right out. Like, the people were, maybe it was just a weird string, but I felt like once I was in there, the players were actually really good. And it's I've improved on my movement a lot from going back and actually saving all the replays from all my matches, mostly the ones that I lose, but sometimes when I win, I'll save those too, just so I can kind of study and say, okay, wait, this is where I made the mistake. This is why he did this. And the most frustrating thing is when I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do. I was playing a Crom, and this Crom, he three-stocked me, which is really embarrassing to confess. I couldn't get in. Anytime I tried to approach you, just like, oh, I batted you away with a fair. Oh, I batted you away with a nair. Oh, I back aired you and you die. I could not figure out what to do against him. And I despite saving the replay and watching it like four or five different times, like I just don't know what tool I have to counter this guy. He's just really good. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to go back and watch your message. If you want to improve, I would really suggest you use that replay button.
There you go. So, but yeah, like Tyler said a few weeks ago, we are definitely going to be playing Smash Brothers for the foreseeable future, and that there's nothing wrong with that.
Just a question, guys. Like, since Smash Brothers is more or less an evergreen title for Nintendo, like, how long you think it's gonna be until like we finally get tired of it? Maybe like 2-3 years, maybe 4 years.
Oh, I mean,
that's a great question.
It really just depends, because here's the thing. Well, let's think about the Switch as a whole, okay? When we got the Switches, what were we all playing?
Breath of the Wild.
That is correct. And then in April, what came out?
Mario Kart.
Yes. And then so we started playing that, and we occasionally went back to Breath of the Wild, unless you were me, who actually beat the game in a good amount of time.
And you spent everything. The least amount of hours on it, though. Let's not forget.
This is true. I will acknowledge that, but I spent a good amount of time because I wanted to make sure I had enough hearts, and especially so I could get the Master Sword.
Plus,
you were
reviewing it, so you were on a timer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd had to do it in 2 weeks. So Mario Kart came out, and then that was our focus for a long time. And then...
Splatoon 2?
Right, Splatoon 2. No, wait, ARMS. So ARMS was first. ARMS.
Right.
ARMS, then Splatoon, then Rabbids, then technically Pokemon, but I didn't get that, and I was okay with that. And then Fire Emblem Warriors, Mario Kart, Mario Odyssey, then Xenoblade. So with here, we are in this position to where Smash Brothers is something that we can perennially go to, unlike Odyssey, unlike Breath of the Wild, unlike Mario Kart's still viable, of course, and Splatoon as well. But we could play this for as long as we want. But then, okay, so Mario Deluxe U comes out in January.
Oh. Right.
Should we want to play that, we could play that, get done, come back to Smash Brothers. Then let's just say Fire Emblem comes out in March, just to be generous. All right, that's going to consume all of our lives. And then we'll be done with it, and we'll be like, maybe we should go back to Smash Brothers. So tiredness really just depends on how long you're willing to play it until you want something new. So I think personally we'll all be quote-unquote tired in a few months because we'll want something fresh and new. But then once that freshness is over with, we'll go back to Smash Brothers.
You don't know me.
I
was thinking 4 years is like a reasonable time where maybe I don't play this game like all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but you're right. I mean, when Fire Emblem comes out, I will absolutely be taking a Smash break to enjoy that.
Yeah. And of course, if we get the Twitch channel, we'll be playing it like every week. And then that's another thing entirely. So,
yeah,
so we'll be doing it for the entertainment of the masses, all three of them. No, but I don't think I don't get tired of Smash Brothers games. I just make sure I play them in small enough bursts so that I don't get, you know, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean, Smash is one of those games. That was one of the big things that I was disappointed in with Smash Wii U was it just came out so late in the console's life that it was at the end. Like, it wasn't a game that I knew we'd be playing for. We'd play it for a while, but I figured, you know, this isn't going to be one that once the Switch comes out, we're going to be done with it. But Ultimate's not like that because the Switch may have 5 years left in it.
Yeah, it's 6 to 7 years lifespan-wise, definitely, because It's just too hot. And we'll be talking about that because this has been a pretty good news week. And we barely talked about news last week because of Smash Brothers release. So, you know, lots to catch up on. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, let's just get this out of the way. Let's talk Smash Brothers news. Yay! All right, so we have been waiting for so long to get the official numbers on how well Smash Brothers Ultimate has done. And as a very, very wise man predicted, we now have confirmation that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, in its first week of sales, sold 5 million copies.
Yeah, that was a really perfect estimate by you. Todd, I don't know if we said it on the podcast or in our just in our group chat, but
It was on the podcast.
He
It was on the
said,
podcast.
and I quote, "It's going to be 5 million," and it was.
It was. I can see the future, and that's why I'm the host. No. No, trust me. Wait till next week when we talk about our draft picks from January. We're not going to have good scores. That's a promise.
No. Well,
So.
I mean, good scores mean like. When we do the draft, or really our goal is to say this is important for Nintendo to get right, or
Yeah.
this is so it's really you really can't be wrong, but
But I mean, like, compared to 2017, where we had all but one thing selected, it's not going to be like that this year. Anyway, but but yes, 5 million worldwide physical and digital sales included. That's important because some of these numbers don't include the digital sales. And just as impressive, in the United States alone, in the first 11 days, which is kind of an odd number to try and figure out, but whatever, 3 million units sold.
Oh
Yeah,
boy.
and then of course Japan confirmed that they had 1.2 million in the first few days. Europe said that they had the highest Smash Brothers sales ever and highest Switch game sales ever. And so if that was just the first week, and we're now officially in week two ish, Friday to Friday, I have no doubt that it's closer to 6 million right now.
Yeah, I mean that was week one, so
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised at all either. It's
Yeah.
definitely on pace. It's the fastest selling. It's even better than, or significantly better than Pokemon Let's Go, and that
Well,
was huge in its own right.
I mean,
So
significant enough. I mean, that one sold 3 million in a few
yeah, so
days.
2 million more. That's a lot.
Yeah. And but here's the other thing, and I ha actually had to look this up for an article I wrote. Okay, so the best-selling Smash Brothers game is Smash Bros. Brawl at 13-point-something million, right? And it's as of September 2018 this year, Smash Brothers Wii U only sold 5.33 million. So in 1 week, Smash Brothers Ultimate passed the Wii U version.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right. But that it's also the tale of two consoles. One console had, 12 million people ish. I think it was like 13 by the end, 13, 14 by the end. And the Wii U, or sorry, the Switch, in less than 2 years, has over 25 million, which we'll get to in a second. And so that means literally one fifth of the Smash, over one fifth of the Smash, dang it, Switch fan base has bought Ultimate in the first week. So yeah, a fifth, one fifth in 1 week, and now it's over a fifth. So and this is, of course, like Will said, this is an evergreen title, so like those sales aren't going to diminish anytime soon.
It's just like it's amazing to see like this astronomical number just already passing the Smash 4's lifetime sale. So it only gives me just wondering like how many like how much if not half if or even more percentile of all Switch users is gonna get this title because again it's I don't know, as many reviews has called it, this game is a very easy accessible title that anybody can pick up. I mean, easy to pick up, but hard to master, and there's no right way to actually play the game. So I'm just only wondering like if it's gonna continue to sell more now, like as we head into Christmas.
Well,
So
it's gonna sell well going into Christmas, just because there are gonna be people who buy the game for their kids for Christmas. You know, kind of like a reverse Black Friday thing. And so I'd actually be very surprised if the sales weren't closer to 7 million by the end of the year. But I kind of see this like a Breath of the Wild situation. And what I mean by that is if you look at Zelda sales for the last few main console titles, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, they were good. but they weren't exactly like genre breaking. And
Mm-mm.
then Breath of the Wild comes out, and it basically doubles, sometimes triples some of those high console numbers. And that's because of all the critical praise, the positive word of mouth, and everything. And I definitely feel that Smash Brothers, especially with the Switch's portability and being able just to play against anyone next to you, that's going to be a huge thing.
Right, right, right.
But it's
So,
definitely going to beat Brawl. There's no doubt in my mind. It's going to be Brawl.
Yeah, I agree. It's just as you said, the Switch is that console that's perfect. The fact that you could go and literally play Smash anywhere, like aside from like the 3DS version prior, is yeah, a full-fledged Smash Bros. Game on the go is yeah, amazing. It's amazing.
I'm just happy for Sakurai, really. I mean, the guy put so much work into this. It's great to see that they're being rewarded with sales numbers to that really just pay off that effort.
I agree, I agree. And the fact that we're getting DLC for this game, I mean, for the next coming year is I mean, again, who thought that Nintendo would do DLC back? Like, if you told me that 10 years ago that Nintendo would do DLC, I would call you crazy. But yeah, now Smash Bros. Getting DLC, Joker, and who knows what other character's gonna come into this franchise is, yeah.
It's Nintendo is truly on a roll, which they proved in November, because in November the Switch was the highest grossing console in America. Now I gotta say this correctly, all right? This is in terms of money amount, because ironically, the Switch, the Xbox One, and the PS4 all sold 1.3 million units apiece in November. Think about that for a second. Are you thinking?
Okay, we thought about it.
No, I'm serious. Like, think about that. 'Cause this is only the second time in history that this has happened over the course of 1 month, that three major platforms each sold 1 million console slash hardware units. And they all sold 1.3 million.
Yeah, that's really odd. Like, I wonder how did Xbox have such a strong month?
Deals, sales, all of it. Same with that. That's why the Switch was the winner in terms of profit, because they were still selling their console at
Right.
the regular rate, whereas the Xbox and the PS4 were doing deals. Like, I saw one near my hometown where they bundled the PS4 with the Spider-Man for like $200, and I was dang tempted.
Yeah,
Okay.
I mean, Nintendo always sells their hardware at a at for profit, whereas I think Sony and Microsoft, they actually lose money on their console sales, because
Yeah.
they it costs more to manufacture, but then they make up for it in software. So that's
Exactly.
a factor as well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but still, like, that's good. And this all but confirms that the Switch has well over 25 million in sales, because at the end of September, which was their last quarter, they were at 22 point like 7 something. And so you fast forward through October, where they had Super Mario Party. No, wait, that was in no, wait. That was that October or September? I can't remember now. Super Mario Party. Was that late September or early October?
That was early October.
Okay, so yeah, so you had Super Mario Party, which did really well in the U.S. Remember, this is only U.S. sales. So the 1.3 was just in America. So then you count all the other people all over the world, for November, add October sales, they're over 25 million, guaranteed. So that's pretty impressive. And then now we're in December, where it's gonna no doubt sell just as much ish because of Christmas and more deals. And yeah, Nintendo is raking. And I don't know if they'll still pull off that 20 million fiscal year sales, but
Yeah, that's not gonna. I mean, 1.3 isn't gonna cut it for that. That's actually. I think that's. I'm surprised at how low that is. I think
but that's
that's gonna
just for the
really hurt
hold
the.
on, remember, that's just for the US in 1 month.
Oh, see, I missed the just for the U.S.
Yeah,
part. That's much better than I thought then.
and so you add the rest of the UK sales, and I'm pretty sure Mario Party did well there. In Japan, same way. Then, of course, November had all that sales with like Let's Go Eevee and everything. So, yeah. Either way, though, the Switch is doing incredibly well, and Nintendo is setting up for a pretty spectacular 2019. So, speaking of spectacular, or maybe I should say spectacular fail, Suda51 and Grasshopper and all of them were teasing a major No More Heroes, sorry, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes announcement. And so they did this 3-hour presentation, and they said there's going to be a very big announcement, and me and Will were all saying, dear gosh, they're going to announce Travis Touchdown for Smash Brothers. Nope.
Nope.
Will, take it away. I need to look something up.
Okay, so just it's really not movie news. From what I saw in the press, it's just basically a little bit, just a whole lot of info dumping. But the main idea is basically like one is giving more information to the DLC that comes with the season pass. Basically, it's gonna involve Shinobu Jacobs past two games as a single DLC, as well as including Bad Girl. Yeah, Bad Girl back from the first game. Also included as a DLC as a second episode, and that and season pass is being is priced at $10 for both DLCs. So I don't know, a $10 season pass DLC for two things, it sounds reasonable enough. But also, I guess the big news that I guess Grasshopper was saying is because I can remember back when I reported that the whole Performance Matters and the whole strike issue that was happening back in the day.
Yeah.
Now they have confirmed regarding the voice cast of this game, and we are safe to say that yes, Travis Touchdown is being brought back by Robin Atkins Downies, which again, there's no other Travis Touchdown like him. But also we have more of the cast members. Batman's gonna be voiced by Steve Bloom, who everyone probably knows him as Spike Spiegel in Cowboy Bebop.
Or Wolverine. Hello.
Or Wolverine. Fine.
Don't you find me, Will. Yeah. He's a legend.
Dude, I met him. I know.
I'm joking.
And Shinobu Jacobs is being replaced back by Kimberly Brooks, Batgirl also by Kathleen Fior, and one of the new enemies, Brian Buster Jr., is voiced by Greg Ellis. So basically, show off more of the voice cast of this game. But that was just pretty much it. It's just about the DLC, season pass, and voice cast. Nothing else. Which, yeah, granted, but they were teasing about a big announcement. I guess that was kind of it, just to like ease fears of like again the whole strike voice actors strike and the whole Performance Matters issues back a while back. So I guess this kind of eases that worry, but yeah, it's not really the whole announcement they kind of hype it up to be in Twitter. So I am a little bit disappointed, but again, there is still a hope. We still have the rest of the year to go. So you never know.
In hindsight, you know, I may have gotten a little too nervous that they were going to have a Travis Touchdown Smash announcement. Like, they wouldn't announce that this far ahead of time when we haven't even seen Joker. Like, the timing didn't line up at all. And yet, it was just, it was so funny right after Will said he was 80% sure that Travis Touchdown would be in Smash, that they had a really huge reveal, like, to spell out. I will be very happy for you if he is in Smash. But, I mean, like I said, I think there's a 1%, maybe at most, chance.
Sure. I'll give that open because, yeah, like, everyone probably thinks I'm going to be a little crazy out of my mind, but Travis Touchdown's going to be in Smash. But again, you never know. Again, there is also the possibility that freaking Mortal Kombat character maybe also will come to Smash. You never know.
I think
guys,
that's less likely than Travis Touchdown.
Guys.
I don't know. Mortal Kombat is coming to Switch.
I'm reading an article right now, and it's not going to make Will happy.
Oh, no.
Shout out.
So I was looking up some news about No More Heroes 3. We'll be getting to that in a second. And someone wrote about the live stream that happened tonight. And they go, but in a live stream presentation on Thursday morning, Suda51 was quick to confirm that the character won't be coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate after all.
Oh, what a shock.
Wow. Now I'm even more disappointed. Dear gosh.
Okay, so let's just talk about Todd, you said
I'll place
you were
my chips on the Mortal Kombat characters then.
Yeah, 50. I was 50%.
You were 50% sure that Travis Touchdown was going to be in. But really, 50%.
Yeah, 50%.
As great as your 5 million prediction was, that one, that removes how good that one was. In fact, you're still in the negative. 50% is so much percent.
How am I in the negative?
Because if you're, that's saying half the time he would be in the game. My mind is just blown by that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Who could, you never know. Suda51 could be trolling. You never know.
Unless we forget, Tyler, Sora was not announced at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, I.
So you're
I
in
thought...
the, you are so in the negative. You actually are in the negative. I am.
I
not.
Said yeah. I thought that Sora would be the character. I was never. If you ask me my percentage chance of confidence in Sora, I think we did actually, and I was definitely below 50%.
Yeah, you were the second time.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because it's just it's for any character, you know, you're gonna be below. It's just this character's chance is probably as good as you could get, you know. Yeah.
But
there's so
just,
many characters and there's four
I'm
slots.
I'm very disappointed though because they're like, oh, big announcement. Of course, everyone's thinking Smash Brothers because of Joker. And no, they apparently that was like the first thing that Suda addressed. He goes, again, like I said, was quick to confirm that the character won't be coming to Smash Brothers Ultimate. So that leaves a slot open. So
Okay, I'll put my chips on Mortal Kombat characters then.
Oh gosh. All right.
I think Banjo is the most likely, but we talked about this so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go back a few episodes. And so, all right, now, there was some other big No More Heroes news recently, and that was that Suda51 admitted in an interview that he already has planned No More Heroes 3. And he says not only does he want to make it, not only does he want to make it for Switch, he wants to make it soon, but he has to wait to see how Travis Strikes Again does on the Switch console.
Fair. Yes.
Which is fair. Now, here's what he had to say about it. Quote, in No More Heroes 3, Travis is going to go up against crazier adversaries than he ever has before. It's going to be bloodier, more intense battles between assassins. It's going to be like the Avengers, Thanos levels of crazy villains. Okay.
I'm not surprised if you have played Suda51 game, they are nuts.
I know. Now, if you're curious, well, wait a minute, why? Okay, I got to go nerd voice here. Well, wait a minute. If he already has No More Heroes 3 planned out, then why is he doing Travis Strikes Again? Smack! Well, here's why. Apparently, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Morons. He goes, quote, in order for Travis to stand a chance against these powerful new foes, I wanted to give Travis the chance to enter these different game worlds in Travis Strikes Again and power up to learn some new skills and gain some more strength so that ultimately I can work to make Travis a more prominent character in video game history overall.
To make him be a member of Smash Bros. 6.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Confirmed. Smash Bros. 6. No. But, so yeah, he's already got a plan. He just says that, you know, I just have to wait on Travis Strikes Again to see how well that does. Mm-hmm. And if it works, he'll not only bring it, and he says, hopefully have the chance to release an amiibo.
Yeah, yeah.
Travis Touchdown amiibo, baby.
That would be cool.
I look forward to that, honestly. But
amiibo of anything, yeah. I'm always a fan of.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, they're going to make a Joker amiibo. That's what I'm more excited.
This is
but
true.
I digress. But regarding to sort of 51's statement is, yeah, because as you said, this game is meant to serve as a bridge between No More Heroes 2 to No More Heroes 3. And yeah, so basically, if you're a fan of No More Heroes, please buy this game so we can get a promised sequel. I mean, like with Todd said with what was the game again? The World Ends With You. He wants to have another sequel to game. So please come and buy this game, please. And it's only very cheap.
Please.
It's only like, I don't know, I think it's like less than the manufacturer retail price. So please buy this game, fans.
Yeah, I think Travis Dash Skins only could be like $40. So we'll see.
Mm-mm-mm.
But yeah, so that's exciting though, because I know there's a lot of No More Heroes fans out there. So yeah, that's gonna be good. And now, time for more disappointment for Will.
Yeah,
because the producer of Shin Megami Tensei 5 has gone and done an interview with Famitsu and has admitted that production of Shin Megami Tensei 5, which is a Switch exclusive, is still in development, still a work in progress, and they don't know when exactly they're going to be showing more from the game. So you're gonna have to wait.
I'm not surprised, honestly. I mean, again, this is a new engine they're working with. I mean, the last thing they worked is with the Catherine engine, which I think is a little bit bumped up. That's still used on the PS3 days. I mean, it was still Unreal Engine 3. So granted, it's gonna take some time. But let's just hope it's not gonna be a situation like Kingdom Hearts 3, but it takes about 10 years.
Yeah. the top 9. But you know, it's ironic though, because this was, as someone reminded me, Shin Megami Tensei 5 was actually one of the first games announced for the Switch during the January report, because they showed that teaser trailer of SMV 5 or SMT 5. So that's interesting that, you know, it's almost been, gosh, 2 years since that point, and we still don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah. That the game is going to be, for me, one of the most anticipated. It was one of my most anticipated games for 2019. But given the fact that we're not going to hear anything about it for probably a while, that dream may be not realized.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. But yeah. But now to news that'll make the Todd happy. That's me. Square Enix and Team Acquire, aka Team Octopath Traveler, have noted their own little things in an interview with Famitsu. And here's what they said. Producer Tomoya Asano said, "In 2019, we'll have a challenge that is different from what we have with Octopath Traveler in the Bravely Default series. I'll do my best. Business Division 11, which is Team Acquire, is moving forward with the development of several games. Each one will surely please you guys. It will still be a while until we can share information, but please look forward to it." And then fellow producer Masashi Takahashi said, "We received support from so many people in 2018, and we were able to release a brand new title in Octopath Traveler. I'll keep working on console games in 2019 too. First, we'll properly reflect on ourselves before heading into the next season preparations. I'll do my utmost best to make games you can look forward to, from the Octopath series, the Bravely series,
yeah.
A new series, and more." So, although this is hardly confirmation, it seems that the Switch might be not just getting Octopath Traveler 2, but Bravely Default 3, and a brand new RPG series, potentially.
Yeah, I think that Square is clearly, you know, the Bravely series has sold well for them. Definitely something that's on their minds. But every now and again, they'll put out something with some of the characters in there, so they're not letting that IP kind of vanish. But the sooner we get something in that series on Twitch, even if it's like a remaster of the original,
that'd be interesting. Yeah, or of course Bravely Default 3.
Yeah, well, that would be the best.
HD graphics and, you know, or HD chibi models. I'm sure Will like that.
I didn't mind the graphics of Bravely Default, and
I'm not saying they were bad. It's just, you know, it was the product of the 3DS, which was powerful enough. But not exactly uber powerful. Although they did have Dream Drop Distance on there, and that was pretty crisp.
So, right.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
And just my two cents is regarding to, like, Square Enix has been very good with their RPGs of late. I mean, again, if you look at Octopath Traveler, that thing was like a great start for the Nintendo Switch, and that's kind of like one of my predictions as we head into 2019. Is like, I really hope there's more prominent, like, new RPG that comes online for the Switch. I mean, yeah, we have Shin Megami Tensei 5, but I really am looking forward to, like, what other unique RPGs coming down the line for the system.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Octopath was great, but we could use some more.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Square Enix has been one of the two or three companies that have been in full support of Nintendo Switch, and now that they have, you know, the great sales of Octopath, which was well over 1 million in the first month, they know that their games will sell, even if they're not, like, you know, technical mastery like you know, some of their other titles is. And of course now we're getting, like, all those Final Fantasy HD remasters that's exciting, I'm not gonna lie.
That's really exciting. Yeah.
And of course, if this leads to Kingdom Hearts 3 and Sora and Smash and Riku Assist Trophy. I wanted Riku as a playable character, but I'm not gonna push my luck. So, yeah, and they would have been totally different characters. They would have been. So, yeah. Also, that new Kingdom Hearts trailer
I saw,
that is devastating. What is wrong with you people? How many ways are you trying to kill us? They just wait 13 years, and now you're like showing all the characters dying. It's like, really?
Yeah, we got Avengers on us.
Yeah, we got Avengers on us. I'm waiting for the snap. There we go.
Also a funny thing, just also sidetrack. Has anyone noticed, like, the official Kingdom Hearts Twitter account has something happened to it? I'm not sure if anyone noticed.
I haven't gone to their Twitter feed, so no.
Yeah, because apparently something happened to the official Kingdom Hearts Twitter account, and like you cannot see their tweets. It's like completely gone.
Huh.
So I'm not sure what happened. Maybe Xehanort finally ignored it, like the Twitter account. I have no idea.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just nobodies. I know, that was a heartless joke. Anyway. But no, it's interesting. Okay, I gotta talk about this, because I respect this decision by Tetsuya Nomura. Okay, so Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out in a little over a month, right?
Right.
Somehow, some way, someone stole like 30 copies of the finished game, because it's already gone gold. So they stole 30 copies of the finished game and started selling them to people, and people have been leaking the details online, right?
Right,
well,
Tetsuya
Nomura had the vision to think this might happen to us after 13 years. So he made it so that the ending cutscene and the after credits cutscenes, which Kingdom Hearts games always have, are not in the game at launch.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, he will literally release it in an update on launch day, or like the day after launch or something like that, so that they cannot possibly be spoiled. And I I started clapping, you know. I was like, that's brilliant, because we have that power now.
Same thing happened with Ultimate. Ultimate got released in Mexico early by accident, or I guess on purpose, maybe, who cares?
Yeah.
And you know, people got a head start playing it for 2 weeks, and fortunately for Ultimate, you know, the World of Light cutscenes, they were posted all over YouTube, but it's not as huge of a deal as a game like Kingdom Hearts. But
yeah,
it's just a reality of like this era. It's, somebody gets their hands on something, they can put the whole thing out. It's data mining taken to a next level.
Yeah. So, but props to you, Mr. Nomura. I look forward to playing Kingdom Hearts 3 on Switch. Ah, oh, one more thing. This is news to make Tyler happy. Pokemon Go.
Hooray!
Pokemon Go, not surprisingly, was one of the top mobile titles in terms of spending in the world in 2018. It was actually number 7 on the top games list, which actually I kind of find a little low, but I mean, I guess
I don't know what's higher than it, but
I'll,
I do
I'll
feel
tell
like...
you.
Yes, tell me.
Number 1, Fate/Grand Order. Number 2, Honor of Kings. Number 3, Monster Strike. Number 4, some game called Candy Crush Saga. Never heard of it. Number 5, Lineage M. Number 6, Fantasy Westward Journey. And then 7, Pokemon Go.
Gosh, what are these games?
I know. Just to finish the list. Number 8, Dragon Ball Z Dokken Battle. Number 9, Clash of Clans. And number 10, Clash Royale.
Yeah, figuring Clash of Clans.
So, yeah. So that's this game is just still a juggernaut, and of course they've been getting more updates of Gen 4 Pokemon and everything else. So you know, it's one of those games that's just gonna keep growing, and because of Pokemon Let's Go, it's growing even more, and that game's been selling well, very well. I think it's getting closer to 5 million too. So you know, the power of Pokemon. That's all you need. So. All right, well, the end of the year is almost upon us. Next year. We're going to make you wait next year for the podcast. way into next year. Like, we're going to take a long break now.
Technically, next year is 2 weeks, so it's not that long.
That's why I said way into the year. Like, never mind, Will. this is why I'm the host. Anyway. Next week, we're going to be doing our year in review, discussing everything that's happened in 2018 and how we grade everything. And, of course, our picks for Game of the Year, Nintendo style. And so I look forward to hearing what you guys all say about that. I hope that we don't all have the same game, but we'll just have to see.
Oh, the drama. Will I pick Celeste or will I pick Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? You have to wait to find out.
Okay, I want to pause really quick because I wrote a script for my YouTube channels. And the game, this channel does not like doing video game topics because for whatever reason they don't do well. But I pitched them the idea of doing the top 10 games of 2018. And I am happy to say that I managed to get 4 Nintendo games on there.
Including Celeste.
And Celeste was number 4.
Good work.
Thank you. And Smash was number 1. No, it wasn't. I put a number 10. I had to be fair. So, Smash was 10. Octopath was 8. I got Pokemon Let's Go at 5 on cuteness factor alone.
Pokemon Let's Go ahead of Smash?
I did.
Do you actually think Pokemon Let's Go is a better game?
I didn't say that. The list said that. I had to work with the people, you know. Like, for example, if I had my way, I would have put as many Nintendo games as I could, but I held back because out of honor and respect. So, for example, the top 5 was Pokemon Let's Go, 4 was Celeste, 3 was Red Dead, 2 was God of War, and 1 was Spider-Man.
Right.
So, I know. Mm-mm-mm. Gotta be respectful, but I knew you would appreciate me putting Celeste
at
number
really
4.
Do. I'm just giving you crap.
Oh, I know. But still. And if you want to pick Celeste for your top game, that is your choice. It is your list, and we will only mock you for the next year. So,
have you ever played Celeste?
I have not.
Mock. That may or may not be the right answer.
Maybe you should take that $20 you owe me and just buy me Celeste.
Oh, deal.
All right. But while next week we'll be looking at the year behind us, today we are going to look at the year ahead and talk about what we are looking forward to in regards to certain Nintendo titles. So it's time to convene another session of the NEP Secret Society. Alright, so how this is going to go is we're each going to talk about games that we think / know are coming out in 2019, and we're going to discuss our expectations for said titles. And I think it's only fair that we each pick a game and have that be our discussion. So Tyler, let's start with your game that you want us to talk about.
I'm going to go off the board here. You're not going to expect the one I'm going to take. I'm going to take Fire Emblem Three Houses.
No, I thought you were going to do Celeste 2. What the heck, man? Okay, Fire Emblem here. Go on. What are your expectations for the game?
Okay, well, I'll just jump right into it then. So Three Houses, you know, we don't know a ton about it yet, but no. It looks to be an interesting combination of old school Fire Emblem and new school Fire Emblem. So, you know, you got the modern games, really Awakening and Fates, and then you have your throwback games, more in line with Fire Emblem Echoes. Fire Emblem Three Houses currently looks to kind of bridge or blend those two together. We have overworld maps where you can freely control your avatar and, you know, go talk to your armies and stuff like that. I'm excited for stuff like that. What I really hope is that they put story first, because I think that in Fire Emblem Fates, they had a great story concept and they threw it away. And that's what made Echoes so good, was that the story really drove every single battle, every part of the game. The next step, you felt like it was part of this cohesive world, this cohesive story, and meanwhile Fates was a bit all over the place. For Three Houses, my dream is that they get back to that old school Fire Emblem storytelling combined with some of the popular newer elements. I love being able to interact with your units outside of the battlefield. Even in Fates, as small as it was, I would actually like them to expand upon the My Castle scenario, where you can you know, go and visit different members of your army and talk to them and train them and all sorts of things like that. That would be phenomenal to me, and I think that would appeal to a lot of modern players, while also not isolating longtime fans, because we see so much, especially in Fire Emblem Heroes now, there's just so much fan service, and it's just too much at a point. And I think that even the most crazy, the most insane lover of fan service would probably get sick of it eventually.
Speak for yourself.
There's nothing wrong with fan service every now and again. I'm totally cool with it. Old school Fire Emblem games had fan service as well. But it's really just finding that balance. And I think with Echoes, for me, it was perfect. But I think for a player like Will, it probably wasn't as perfect, because there really none of that. I mean, you had nice conversations with your units, but you really couldn't do anything with them. You had really bare minimum support conversations. I want them to really dive into that stuff. I want to go back to the Path of Radiance style support conversations. You know, not on the battlefield. They happen after the battle in maybe your My Castle scenario. I'm kind of just going free flow here, but if you have played the Tellia series, that's a really great framework for what I would love to see from Three Houses in terms of hub. I love the way that hub is organized in between chapters. You can, there's, everything's pretty clear where it is. You can go buy stuff. You don't have to go all the way to the store to buy stuff. So I would love to be able to have a, you know, have everything at your fingertips, maybe a quick travel menu. If you're exploring a town, you can travel right over to the store just by bringing up the menu and clicking that, or you could walk and take in the sights, you know, chat with some units. All of those things should really be able to come together on Switch. I get on 3DS, it's kind of hard to create that perfect dream balance, but I think it's possible on Switch.
Yeah.
And one more thing I really want to mention that I love in Radiant Dawn, this is the best thing about Radiant Dawn, you have multiple armies, and in Three Houses, it's called Fire Emblem Three Houses. I really want to be able to play as each of the three houses separately. I'd love to have one army going one way, one army going another, have those armies clash. Heck, in Radiant Dawn, you can never pick which side you fought for. I would love to be able to have a battle where one or two houses are clashing, and you have to decide, okay, who am I fighting for? Because your player character is a teacher, so I think that he, I'm assuming that he's played a mentor role to the leaders of the three houses, and it would be amazing. It would be a lot of drama. Some of that drama that Fates should have had if its story was all executed could be found here, if you controlled different armies and your choices affected the future of the world. So I'm really looking to see that, and I also think a lesser consequence of that really benefits Fire Emblem games is that you have to use more units instead of just using your 12 favorites. Like in Awakening, one of my favorite games of all time, but at the end of the day, I think in the final map you can bring like 15 units out of like the 48 that are in the game. And I love that Radiant Dawn lets you use pretty much everybody who joins your army, and you have to because your armies are split into smaller numbers in certain battles. You can only have certain people.
Yeah. Man, I don't know what else there is to talk about. I mean, that took like 40 minutes, so.
I have a lot of things that I want.
I know. I believe you. Now, for me, I agree with a lot of what you said. In fact, I really like some of the ideas you spat out, that you spoke. There we go. I really like that idea of going, like, full three houses, like, let us be a part of all three houses.
Yes.
Let us see it, you know, let us control them differently, let them see, because that was a really great part of Radiant Dawn. For as much as I hated Micaiah because of her sacrilege remarks against Ike, it was compelling to play as the Dawn Brigade, and then as, you know, the Dan Reclamation Force or whatever they were called, and then hop back to, and then, oh my gosh, hey, we're not playing as Ike yet. No, we're playing as Alencia, who's, you know, trying to stop a civil war. And, oh, there's Ike. Oh, wait, he's fighting with the Lagoos. Okay, this is cool. I like this. And then, of course, when the conflicting vows came around and we were bouncing back and forth between all the armies, that was a really cool moment, a really great storytelling. So I would like them to do that, if for no other reason than it would be something different that Fire Emblem technically hasn't done, at least in a while.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and really, you only split your army into three parts at the end of the game. I mean, there is your at the other time, you play as multiple armies, but you only get to decide who goes where then.
Yeah.
I would love to see that be expanded upon.
Yeah, when Ashera came down and you got to choose what army went where. So, or for the most part, there were some characters that were rooted, but like that would be another cool thing too. That's the reason I loved the Path of Radiant Dawn, was that they took what these games had done well on handheld. It was kind of like a reverse Pokemon, because the Pokemon games went from depth on the handhelds to somewhat deeper in consoles, but never ever, you know, full force. Like Pokemon Stadium was not an RPG, it was just a battle game, and then the Colosseum titles were story focused, but you couldn't exactly capture Pokemon. You had to steal them, sort of. But with Fire Emblem, they went full force. They had more objectives. They had just as deep characters, deeper stories, I would argue, better villains, longer games. And so they need to take what made Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn so special, and then incorporate into Three Houses, which they're already doing in part because of the graphics, because the models that we saw, and that was just the first trailer, they look good.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is the first trailer. Things have obviously improved since then, but We didn't have that in any of our games. It, whether it was Awakening, Fates, all three of them, or even Echoes, you know, the character models were somewhat basic because of the graphics engine. Now they don't have that they don't have that worry. They don't have that trepidation because the Switch has HD graphics and they could push it as far as they want now. So I think that that's going to be a big benefit. I do agree that the overworld will be something special. I would love for us to, I would love if we could get side quests through the overworld area, like be able to walk and just talk to characters and do side quests instead of like wandering through the map and doing a side quest that way. You know, like, oh, battle this enemy in this map. Okay, can't we do something better? You know, have some fun, have some really true side quests in Fire Emblem that tie into the story. And if you do have us playing as three houses, like Game of Thrones style, there's got to be history and side quests and country areas that we can go to. So why not have some fun with that? Truly make this a Fire Emblem world that we can explore to its fullest. Which was another great thing that I loved about Path of Radiance is that we learned about all of Tellius. With the exception of Goldoa, in one game, because we traveled through all of it. So, yeah, why not? And then the battles I look forward to, as we saw in the trailer, you're actually like leading platoons of soldiers, which looks really cool. But I need to know how that feels in combat and like the actions we actually can take. So there is so much potential for this game, but they need to. Oh yeah, and all voice acting.
Yes, oh yeah.
Echoes was brilliant by having every character have a voice, except for obviously the soldiers. But
Even some of them had voices when you
that's
talked to
true.
them. And
They did.
Yes, yeah,
That's
some of
true.
them, yeah.
But yeah, they need to have full voice acting, especially on the Switch, where they can, you know, project them in an even better way. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Will?
Oh, that's my cue.
Yeah.
So for me, as I mean, I'm more or less kind of alluded earlier in the beginning, but it's more or less like I'm not really sure like which title I'm actually like really looking forward to. I mean, yeah, there's Fire Emblem Three Houses, but aside from that, there's like nothing really much that's really concrete. I mean, if I had to go for a cop out, I would have said Metro Prime 4, but Metro Prime 4, we barely even know anything about it right now.
True.
So I mean, the only thing I can only imagine right now is this is kind of like a left field kind of deal. Because, as I said earlier, I want to know more about a new RPG that's come up in the ranks. Because the reason I say this is because I also remember reading regarding to Atlus's other project, regarding to I think Project Fantasy, which they showed off art piece regarding to like an elf and a kind of a bit of a medieval fantasy. It's not confirmed for a Switch or any release right now. I think it's most likely on the PS4 side, but I'm also kind of keeping an open mind that it may be possibly on the Switch side. I mean, given to the fact that again we have a close collaboration now with Persona with Nintendo, so you never know with Atlus. But overall, it's just more so of the theme of having a new RPG that's come up in the ranks. In like we already have Shin Megami Tensei IV that's currently being developed right now,
Five.
but five. Okay, sorry, Shin Megami Tensei V. And as you said, we have no idea when that's gonna come out. I mean, probably give them maybe more 2 more years until we finally have something concrete. So I'm just wondering, like, what other RPGs are definitely on the ranks? Like, is it gonna be Project Fantasy that's gonna be finally announced for both PS4 and Switch? That's one thing I'm wondering. Maybe that's probably on the Atlus side of things. That's one my guesses. But other RPGs that I want to know, like, yeah, Square Enix with the Bravely Default team, what they did with Octopath Traveler, like, are they making an RPG for the Nintendo Switch that goes
Yes.
after this? I mean, yeah, they're making that. They're planning in the stages. So, what other ideas they got? Like, I don't know. I would love to see like Square Enix go back through their old catalogs and like revitalize back an old series, an RPG that's been long dead. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm kind of going back to Atlus, but yeah, Atlus, Sega, there is an old RPG that you forgot about a long time ago, back in the old Dreamcast days and GameCube days. Yes,
Don't say
I
it.
think you know what
Don't say it.
I'm not, I'm not, I'm
We
not,
will
I'm
smack you so hard.
not. But, like, that's one thing I'm just very curious about, of what other RPGs. Like, we already have Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition that's coming out, I believe, yeah, in the first quarter of of 2019. So what's gonna come after it? Like, yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes is also a strategy RPG, but how much is that really like focused on? It's mostly strategy. So that's just where my mind is basically revolving right now. Like, what other RPGs are being in the works right now for Nintendo Switch? We have Project Fantasy, we have Shin Megami Tensei 5, and Square Enix is developing another RPG. But what other else is gonna be coming in there? That's what I want to know. Like, a new IP that's like something really fresh that we never expected. I mean, Persona 5, the last great RPG, is just it was so unique. Talking about, like, again, do you want to have the patient mental freedom from societal norms? So what else can like these companies offer? That's what I wonder, and I hopefully see it on the Switch.
Well, we do know that Monolith Soft is working on multiple titles right now. One of them is supposedly a medieval style RPG that is not part of the Xenoblade Chronicles universe. And of course, they are teasing Xenoblade Chronicles 3, so or X2. I don't know. A guy can dream, I suppose. So there's definitely there. I would be very surprised if there's not at least three big RPGs not named Pokemon coming out in 2019. I mean, it just too set up.
Right, and again, Pokemon is I would consider it an RPG, and that's just like recently got the starting development last year. So I don't know, maybe we'll probably have some more details on Pokemon in this E3. Who knows?
What about you, Tal? What do you think about the RPGs? Do you think we're gonna get some big ones next year?
I mean, I do. I don't think that we're gonna get anything outside of, I mean, Pokemon's the obvious. I don't think we're gonna get any traditional RPG like Octopath next year. Anything that blows us away, at least. I am actually excited for the is it Tales of Vesperia that's
Yeah,
coming to Switch? So I think
Definitive
that's that
Edition.
comes out in January, right? So that's something that I'll definitely be picking up. Yeah, but I don't anticipate a crazy, unless, Persona 5. I don't really, I don't
Right,
really see
right,
a
right.
crazy
There's that
brand
rumor.
new RPG coming next year. But I agree. I mean, I would love to see something. Octopath was a really good game, especially in the summer during that lull, and it would be
Yeah.
great if they could slide another game like that in there.
All right, well, for me, I'm actually going to stick with the RPG route, but I'm going to talk about Pokemon.
Okay.
Because they said that it's coming, that the core Pokemon title is coming late 2019. Now, I'm going to take that as November, December, because now Nintendo has proven 2 years in a row that you can have big sales in December with Xenoblade and now with Smash Bros. And the Pokemon is on the level of Smash Bros. So they can totally release it in December. But the question is, what to expect? Well, I expect the most realistic looking Pokemon in existence. I want them to go so in depth that it makes Detective Pikachu look like a chew toy. I'm kidding entirely. Okay. But I do want good looking Pokemon, but I don't want them to go full Detective Pikachu because I still can't stand to look at those things. I'm sorry, I can't. They look too weird. They just do. But I don't
Pikachu's
want
no problem. I just the mime I'm kind of weird about, yeah.
Mr. Mime is pretty weird.
I
But I
thought he
really
was the
don't.
best looking one. I really did, because that looked like his Pokemon form in the real world versus Pikachu, who looks like a furry
I'm not
fuzzball.
sure about you, but Mr. Mime looks like a little bit like Dwayne Johnson, if you ask me.
I didn't ask you.
If you guys hated Charizard, I thought Charizard looked pretty good. I'm just gonna say.
He looked a little too ferocious. I mean, and yes, it's Charizard, but the way they depicted him in that scene where he's trying to eat Pikachu, little much. And then don't get me started on Greninja. That just looked creepy. Anyway, but for the Pokemon games, I didn't mind part of what they did with Pokemon Let's Go because they, like I noted, they went the cute route and it worked. Like, Eevee is so adorable. And I am a 29-year-old man and I am saying that this Pokemon was adorable. So shut up. But I think they could take it to the next level. I think they could go like what they did with Incineroar and in the Smash Brothers trailer, where he looked so good, but you could see the detail on its fur, and I think that's fine. That's not pushing it too far. So I would like to see like these crisp HD graphics, more detailed, non-big-headed trainers, and why not voice acting? Why not? Like, not for everyone, obviously, because that would get annoying, but like the gym leaders, the Elite Four, your rival, the professor, let's, you did it with Fire Emblem. Why not? Let's do it with Pokemon. Let's have some fun here. And then, of course, we gotta have Gen 8. This has to be the next true core title, so it has to be Gen 8. And we need good Pokemon. Okay, you did well with Sun and Moon, alright? You redeemed us from what the scourge that was Gen 5. And, of course, Kalos was good, and it did, like, you know, the smaller numbers to ensure that had quality over quantity. I wouldn't mind them doing that again. You know, give us maybe 50 new Pokemon. You know, but then take a hodgepodge of other classic Pokemon, mix them into the game, and see where it all goes from there. Then the story. The story has to be deep, all right? And, I mean, Sun and Moon was good, and Ultra Sun and Moon was actually pretty good, too, with the expansion storyline. Even I didn't see coming. It was actually really nice. But they need to go big. They need to ensure that it feels worthy of this true console addition to the core franchise. They need to make it. This could be their chance to make a, I don't want to say truly deep, because they've had some good deep stories in the past, but they need to make this very emotionally gripping, you know, like, and use the HD graphics to make the main character react more. All right, because I swear, in Sun and Moon, that character barely moved his face. Like, he was always smiling except for like in three scenes. Make the dang character act more. All right. Not that hard. I would know. I did character modeling. Okay, it was hard. I digress. But, you know, make it an emotional story that we feel that the main character is even more attached to than he is. So he doesn't have to talk. That's fine. You can pull a Samus there or a Link. You know, make everybody else talk for him. That's still fine. But make it a story that we can really enjoy playing and don't mind playing over again. Because that's sometimes the hardest thing. Is like, do I really want to play through the story again, especially when it wasn't like Ruby and Sapphire, where it was technically two different stories. So, you know, those are my hopes. And then, of course, you know, dear gosh, if you screw up the online, okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm kind of wondering. Like, yeah. If Pokemon Go is any indication, like hopefully Nintendo will learn something, especially with after Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, regarding to how to finally implement good online service. So if they incorporate online service with Pokemon, yeah, do something that's like very Go related and finally has dedicated servers. I mean, again, other companies have known this for so long now, so Nintendo learn something a little. Yeah.
I mean, again, Pokemon Let's Go for the online that I have played seems to be fine, but it was very simplified. So now they just need to take it to the next level, go do what the core games did, and just incorporate them into the Switch online system. It shouldn't be that hard. This time I'm not joking. It shouldn't be that hard, because you know how it works. You know what it works. And this isn't like Smash Brothers, where you have to worry about lag time. That should not be an issue here, theoretically.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so don't screw up the online. Give us good graphics. Give us voice acting, deep story, better main character, good rival. Gotta have a good rival. And just make it feel like Pokemon and not like Let's Go.
Yeah, to me, the Pokemon, the one thing I really want to see is I want to see the continuation of so many great first-party Switch games where with Smash Bros. Ultimate, it's still Smash, but there's a real twist on the gameplay. First of all, the gameplay feels different, but they overhauled Classic Mode. They have a new single-player World of Light mode. Mario Odyssey, it's the same. It's similar to Mario 64. However, it takes those ideas to a whole other level. Same thing with Breath of the Wild. I really want to see Pokemon continue that big AAA superstar Nintendo franchise that changes things up just the right way while keeping it, you know, it's still Pokemon, it's still easily identifiable, it's something that you can just pick up and play, but also it feels different in terms of gameplay. There's something there that really makes it stand out. That's my primary wish. I really can't get into specifics of what I wish it would be. That being said, I would love to be surprised.
Will, do you have anything to add?
I really have nothing much to add regarding to the next Pokemon game. Like, if anything else, I definitely would also agree that, yeah, bring full-fledged voice acting into Pokemon, because we already have so much of the silent and always of the Pokemon character. Yeah, how about put some character acting into this game, which I would definitely like. But aside from everything else, like, the next Pokemon game, yeah, definitely definitely up the scale a little bit more. Just like again, Gen 8 and the new Pokemon, just the different designs. And I don't know, I feel like they should include something that's like nothing that no one would expect from a Pokemon game. Like something that's really like, yeah, just completely unexpected. Like that wow factor. I can't really describe it, but it's like there's something they should really like expand upon. Like, what is one thing you would never expect to see in a Pokemon game like that?
I just want it.
Mm-hmm.
Just want it now. I mean, I also want to see a trailer of it, because I think that first trailer for the Switch Pokemon game is gonna like explode YouTube in one way or another. Because either everyone's gonna really like it or everyone's not.
Right. And now I think about it more, because I think the way they're going with Let's Go Pokemon, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, like, yeah, they definitely got some good ideas to start with for the next game. For example, like the customization of your Pokemon, or just even ride your Pokemon alongside them, customize their avatar and the sorts. Yeah, like, that's kind of one thing they could definitely bring over to the next core Pokemon title. So, like, yeah, that's one aspect.
All right, so before we wrap up, I had a fun idea. What's one game that you know is coming out in 2019 that you hope surprises you in how good it is? Again, game that you know is coming out.
That's a great question. I would say Animal Crossing. I just am not an Animal Crossing fan. And if this was a really good Animal Crossing game and it was something that got me into the series, that would be like an incredible surprise. So I would go there. I don't expect it. I'm just not an Animal Crossing fan.
It's
But
fine. What about you, Will?
For me, it's really hard to say. Again, there's really not much that's kind of like confirmed. But if there's one game that I
What are you
really hope
talking
that
about?
will.
There's Luigi's Mansion, there's Animal Crossing, there's Fire Emblem, there's
Right. In fact, there's a handful of things. But for me, I want to
Yoshi.
go more. Yeah. I was about to say. Yeah, I want to see. Hopefully, like Yoshi, the new Yoshi game will put that new surprise. Yes, for me, it's Yoshi.
I actually would also pick Yoshi just because I like the concept of the cardboard world, especially what we saw at E3 2017. But yeah, I mean, I hope that it does release and then it releases to the quality that it was looking at there, because I like the idea of you could reverse the world and then go in the opposite direction and play that level entirely. So I think it's fine. Yoshi's, it's been up on a bit of a comeback, especially with Woolly World. So I hope that it continues to do it. And of course, if Bayonetta 3 comes out,
Oh,
I hope that it's as good as I remember Bayonetta 2 to be. So yeah, but it's going to be an interesting year, and we'll be talking about that soon with, of course, the third annual Nintendo Draft. So I Commissioner Tyler needs to, start preparing his introduction speech.
Right.
So we'll see if we can get one of our cohorts to come back, and ooh, maybe we can get Kremlin Kevin to help us out this time, or Andross, keep the fun going, as it were.
Indeed.
All right. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
I'm glad that you held that longer so you gave me time to look it up, but don't worry, I already did. Last week we asked you what your thoughts of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate were, and 78% of you said best Smash ever, 11% said it's really good, and 1 or 11% said, which I believe was one person, we didn't have a ton of votes on this poll, said, "I'm not really feeling it, and I will find you, and I will hunt you and hurt you." And yes.
No, Tyler, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it right. I don't know who you are or what you want. If you're looking for applause, I will not give it to you. If you change your mind about Smash Brothers, that'll be the end of it. But if you don't, I will come for you. I will find you, and I will beat you in online.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Click. No, wait, good luck. Click. No, yeah, there's always gonna be haters. Haters.
Hi.
Haters. But I'm glad that most people are claiming it to be the best Smash Brothers. We're having a lot of fun on it, whether we're playing together or playing on our own, and we're gonna do our best to, enjoy it for as long as we can until Fire Emblem comes out. I mean, until we'll see how it
Of
goes.
any game comes out, basically, any
All
game
right.
comes out.
So for this week's poll question, let's take what we were talking about and say, what game are you most looking forward to in 2019? Fire Emblem Three Houses, Animal Crossing Switch, Yoshi's Crafted World, I believe is the title, or Pokemon Switch 2019, whatever you want to call it, Tyler. Core Pokemon RPG. So, yeah. But this one I'm interested in, because I know there's a lot of Pokemon fans out there, and be sure to include hashtags for all of them, Tyler, just to get the maximum amount of hashtags.
Good call.
Maximum amount. So, because I know there's a lot of Pokemon fans out there, but Fire Emblem's got a pretty dedicated fan base, and then there's Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing's a wild card. All right. So, I look forward to that. And of course, next week, we're going to be doing our year in review, talking about everything that has gone on with the Switch and Nintendo in 2019, and giving you our picks for Game of the Year. So I hope you will come and join us for that. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, and Triforce Todd, that's me. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, and we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.
Happy holidays!